Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's NOOM.com to sign up for your trial today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherless.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is July 9th, and yes, we're going to talk about baseball. I know it's late, so that essentially means we're just going to go over the roundup today. And before I really get into all the starters, I do want to let everyone know what my schedule is moving forward, because these are going to be a little bit weirder. As far as the Plus Pitch is going to go, we're going to have podcasts every single day this week. Actually, you're going to get a lucky thing where I'm going to do the podcast before I go to bed tonight for the first time, because I don't need to wait until tomorrow for the streaming options to really give you guys all the news that you need. So that's kind of interesting. But later this week, you're thinking, wait, what are you going to do on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and so on and so forth? I'm going to try and give you guys some interesting looks ahead for the second half, and talk about a certain guys maybe a little, or certain players differently. And I'm just going to take advantage of the fact that we can go outside of the normal routine just a little bit. So that should be fun. But as far as streams go, I'm going to be on the Twitch stream tomorrow morning doing video breakdowns of whoever you want me to do. I'm going to do at least 5, if not up to 7, because we're going to be putting them out on YouTube as I'm going to be away and not able to make them for the next about 10 days or so. So if you've ever wanted me to actually, with you live, break down someone, this is your time to do it. So I'll be there at 10 a.m. Eastern time at twitch.tv/pitcherlist. I hope you're there. Thank you all so much for really a wonderful first half this year. Thank you all so much for getting PL Plus. It's the best way to support what we do with our Discord and our entire community. You also get to interact with us on our Discord and get an ad-free version of the website that's both on mobile and on desktop. So I highly, highly, highly recommend that. But really, thank you all so much for your support. And let's talk about yesterday's pitchers. Matt Manning went 6.2 innings, 0 earned runs, 0 hits, 3 hits, 5 walks. That's right, that's a no-hitter. With 5 whiffs, 31% CSW, and 91 pitches, the Tigers did come through with the combined no-hitter. I do not find that as impressive as a single-pitcher no-hitter, because essentially you get to tag in and tag out to full strength as the game goes on. But how did Matt Manning do that? I don't really know. It was one of those games that you've sat down and you're like, wait, this is the sixth inning and they haven't had a hit? Really, it feels like he's been struggling, because he kind of was. His fastball's not very good. It was just about 93. He did have some moments of like 96, but it was 96 when he's trying to pound it upstairs and then he lands in the zone and they just took it for strike 3. And he also really endured a first inning where it was raining, the ball was slick, and he hit a guy and walked to a guy, and I think he actually even walked 2, if my memory serves correctly, and he got out of it. It really felt like he was about to allow a run, and then the second inning and third inning, and he's throwing these terrible sliders and curves that are just floating in there. This was not Matt Manning being all of a sudden a really good starter. I'm sorry, I wish I could say better, but I'm surprised the Blue Jays didn't get to him. I mean, he did have a lot of hard hit balls, in my view, that were snagged by the defense or found gloves and so on and so forth. So, yeah, don't trust Matt Manning, okay? Cool. Miles Michaelis, should you start the other M&M? He went 7 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks against the White Sox. Got the win. 12 whiffs, 31% CSW. His 4-seamer and curve each went over 42% CSW in this one. Now, I think this is more blame it on the White Sox, and I don't really think that Michaelis is doing anything new, where I don't imagine that Michaelis does enough great things for him to outweigh all the mediocrity that he does. Essentially, every single time you do you start a pitcher in your roster, you're making a decision of, okay, what are the expected good outcomes, what are the expected bad outcomes, and then you're saying what percentage you think each one will exist. And mentally, we do this. That's essentially how I do the list and everything that I do, and I have this internal weight and scaling system. And with Michaelis, I just feel the reward, that is the good outcome side. Sure, this is the best maybe we'll see all year. We saw those two ridiculous strikeout starts before in, I want to say, May, and Michaelis has not been able to repeat them. While the bat is so mediocre and not helpful, that this isn't enough. And this is not going to be a consistent thing for Michaelis. So yeah, we move on. Mitch Keller against the Diamondbacks, 6-7 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 5 walks, and 4 Ks. very strange outing, as he had 6 whiffs and 27% CSW. He's still so good at mitigating hard contact. I think Mitch Keller had about only 4 hard hit balls in this one. And I see that the cutters, the sinkers, and the four-seamers weren't in the zone as much as they used to be, and that's why you have the 5 walks. But batters just cannot square him up with all the stuff going in different directions. His secondaries were still down a tick, but the fastballs, that is, the sinkers and the four-seamers, were still normal. You know, last start, we saw him at least down 1 tick and not 2, and he got it back to normal around 95 in this, 95, 96. So we're okay with Mitch Keller at the moment, but we're still going to be monitoring, and it's kind of nice that the All-Star break might give him a little extra rest here to ensure that velocity does stay up. Spencer Strider, ace, is going to ace as he's the clear SP number 1, 25 whiffs, 40% CSW. For everything I've said about Gerrit Cole, being like, look, I think second half Gerrit Cole's going to be great. Spencer Strider is great now. He's the obvious SP1 in my book, and this was against the Rays too. And it's pretty wild how this year it's Spencer Strider and Gerrit Cole I still really like, and I think that there can be this incredible second half that is just going to be so amazing as well, but yeah, Strider's the SP1. Like, it's not a question at all. Blake Snell is making a run, honestly, in the past 8 starts that he's had. 6 innings, 0 earned runs, 1 hit, 3 walks, and 11 strikeouts in this one. 17 whiffs, 36% CSW against the Mets, no less. I mean, sure, the Mets offense, all the fans are letting everyone know how bad they are, but he's been insane. The changeup has still been so good. 42% CSW with 7 out of 19 whiffs in this one. Its O-swing is over 40%. He's using it better. That is, he's getting a lot more first pitch strikes when he does throw a changeup early in counts. We're talking like mid-40s before, but now it's actually in the upper 50s, which is what you want to see. And then his put-away rate is 90th percentile on that changeup too. And so funny to me, because I was saying, look, get rid of that changeup. It's not consistent. And it wasn't. And then at the beginning of the season, Snell's like, okay, I'm going to try and do the Blake Snell blueprint with breakers first and then the fastballs. But the breakers weren't getting strikes, so he had to throw changeups. It was a plan B, and it worked. And it was a moment of like, oh, we didn't expect that. And then I guess it just worked. Okay, let's try and get the breakers back. No, they're not. Okay, changeup. Oh, that works again, too. And they just has kept working. But now Blake Snell is also doing better stuff with the sliders and the curves that actually weren't spiked in this game. And it's so funny because Blake Snell to me still isn't actually executing as he wants, but his stuff is so good and he's throwing enough competitive pitches here and also in good situations that it doesn't matter. It's kind of awesome. Kyle Nelson, yes, not Ryan Nelson, opened for the Diamondbacks and it's a bullpen game, so who cares? And Austin Pruitt did for the Athletics and who cares? Bullpen games, whatever. Alex Mesilla opened, but this time it was for an actual starter of Michael Grove, who went 6 innings and 4 earned runs, and he actually did a better job of elevating his heater in this one. But the slider that is supposed to be essentially like the Dylan Cease slider, right, down in glove side just so consistently, was not. And yeah, that was a 37% CSW, and the fastball still the one that allowed hits and so on and so forth. But the fact that the slider wasn't that pitch kind of changed at bats, and everything being upstairs allowed hitters to really just keep their eye level upstairs, which means that when they got the heater, they crushed it. The point of the Blake Snell blueprint, or really having elevated four-seamers, is that if you have something downstairs, then it really amplifies that heater and makes it a lot harder to deal with because you think it's going to drop down when you see the ball released at that point. But if you're seeing things up, released way above it and they come back down as opposed to just a four-seamer there, it's a whole different story. And we might not see Michael Grove a whole lot more because the Dodgers are probably going to get something at the deadline, and I imagine Grove is going to be the one that gets ousted. Brian Wu had a very interesting start against the Astros. I really want to go into that, but first, we have to take a quick break. Are you ready to step up to the plate and show off your fantasy baseball skills? Check out Underdog's Fantasy 7th Inning Stretch Tournament from now through July 14th, where you can build your dream team and compete against your friends for the $150,000 in total prizes. So what are you waiting for? Visit the link in the episode description and use promo code PITCHERLIST to receive 100% deposit match up to $100. Join us in the 7th inning stretch tournament and experience the thrill of fantasy baseball like never before on Underdog. Good luck and may the best team win. Must be 18 or older, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 and older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. And in Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. So Brian Woop against the Astros went 6 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. And 8 whiffs and 28% CSW, 70 pitches, and it's not really the kind of outing that you imagined. And think about Wu for a second. What is his best asset? It's that four seamer, as I am starting to call core seamers. That is C-O-R-U, C-O-U-R, that is mon coeur, which is heart. And then also it's a core pitch for him. So it's a core seamer. I kind of dig that. I don't think it's going to stick, but whatever. He only went 32% of them because he honestly wasn't good at commanding it. They weren't upstairs four seamers kind of all over the place. So he went with sinkers instead. And that's why you see 78 pitches in six innings and few strikeouts. Like, wait a second. 42% sinkers is Wu. Yes. He is throwing them inside and getting outs with them. He had a 57% O-swing on his sinker, which would be 100th percentile if it were across the full season, right? The best ones right now are above 40%. They're like 45% O-swing. I love this. I really hope this is a skill that Wu can hold on to. I want to say it was about 75% of his sinkers thrown were all arm side location. He jammed right-handers with this constantly. And then the other side of it is four seamers that you got to get upstairs. His PLV on the sinker. And the reference point really for PLV is really a range from 4 to 6. And it's something we're thinking about for 2024 that we want to fix with PLV is instead of really making the range of 4 to 6 as an average, making it actually that proper 1 to 10. But really when you see like a mark on something, you're going to see like a 4.3, which is terrible, or you're going to see like a 5.6, which is amazing. Brian Wu's sinker PLV yesterday was a 6.02. A 6 PLV on a pitch in a single game is incredible. And you normally don't see that on sinkers. That's how good it was. It just got so many strikes and outs and everything you want where it should suppress hard contact when located as it did. So Brian Wu has the skill now, I hope. And then pair that with the elite four-seamer that can go upstairs. I mean, I don't even care about the cutter, slider, whatever else you would throw if he has those two cooking for him. And then maybe he does get the cutter later on or the slider or something else that is an actual whiff pitch as a breaking ball. Like, that would be amazing. But just those two pitches, you can just soar through games doing that. It's pretty dang cool. It actually outlines for me a possible Zach Wheeler, Sandy Alcantara future for him, as fastballs being the root of it with both four-seamers and sinkers and gaining those outs. There's some excitement here, okay? Tyler Wells against the Twins got the win. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. This was interesting because Tyler Wells, to me, I mean, you start him, but his command wasn't good. And that's really been the thing for Tyler Wells is that he's been able to do that triangle of four-seamers up and then the changeups and the secondary stuff down. But yeah, this wasn't that, and he still got through it. So props to him, but maybe it's starting to slip. Kevin Gausman against the Tigers on the other side of Matt Manning. Ace is going to ace here. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts. It's kind of weird that the splitter really hasn't had a double-digit whiff game in a while. Lots of whiffs, 21% swing strike, but it was just 7. And the slider is so bad, 6 over 15 strikes. Come on, man. Thank you, Tigers, for being so easy on our Kevin Gausman, as the four-seamer is still an elite pitch. James Paxton against the Athletics only got 3 strikeouts. It was 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk. But honestly, I mean, he still did great things. He just didn't get the whiffs and whatever. The cutter and curve are great, and things are cool. Framber Valdez had the Bailey Ober special of 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 7 base runners, and 6 Ks. And it's just so funny to me that Framber Valdez and the 1.17 whip are just like linked at the hip. Attached to the hip. But the thing about Valdez here is that we were worried about his ankle. We didn't know if he was even going to make the start, and if he was, is he going to be able to go long? He threw 105 pitches. It pretty much tells me that any worry we had about Valdez's health is pretty much donezo, because the Astros would have been careful here. 105 pitches, 6 innings, and they could have just pushed them to past the All-Star break. So this is all a good sign here. Tuki Toussaint, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. Yeah, Tuki, huh? Remember that guy? He's pitching for the White Sox now. This is not the first time he's done it this year, and I don't believe in it. I don't really think the splitter or the curve are that good, and he found the zone, but no. And there's nothing exceptional here with Tuki Toussaint. I think this is a trap play for those that see this and think there's some post-hype here. Jake Irvin against the Rangers. Very interesting. I mean, the Rangers have been a lot worse lately, especially against right-handers. They were the most terrifying offense against righties in the past like week or so. They haven't been. And Jake Irvin for the Nationals, if you don't know him, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 1 strikeout. But what is interesting here is this is something I think a lot of pitchers don't do enough. It's where they are in a situation where they have a rotation spot And they're not on a competitive team. The Nationals are not going to make the playoffs. But instead of trying to do the same thing that hasn't worked for ages, they experiment. They say, you know what? I need, if I'm going to be a really good pitcher, if I'm going to get that contract I want and all that stuff, I need to be better than I am. Because if I keep trying to do exactly what I'm going to do, I'm going to be out of the majors. So I really need to take a chance and try to really use this time that I have to experiment and to see if I can really get something else out of what I've got. And Jake Irvin's doing that. Not only is he throwing harder, he was throwing 93 before, and he went up to 95, and then down to 94. Now it was 95.8, which is, oh, okay, Jake Irvin, be a 96-mile-per-hour fastball guy. That's awesome. But the question then is, what is his secondary pitch? And Jake Irvin threw more curveballs than he did four-seamers yesterday. And that's really cool. Was it amazing? Not necessarily. He threw them in the zone. And so that's cool, but it wasn't the curveball that we want it to be, where it needs to be all the way down. But yes, throw 39% curveballs. Figure that out. This is valuable time that you have right now, an opportunity to really experiment and learn. And Jake Irvin's just like, all right, I'm just going to throw 39% curveballs now. Yes. Pitchers should really, really do that more often. It surprises me that they don't. And I think there's a terror that if you all of a sudden try something new for a game, that you'll get demoted or you'll be horrible or something like that. And especially in the situation that Jake Irvin is. I'm rambling far too long, but I just think that's just super, super cool to see. Alex Wood came in after an opener of Ryan Walker, and he did good things. 5 innings, 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. But is it sustainable? I don't really think so. 72 pitches, which isn't great. It's not fully stretched out. And it was 90.8 on the fastball, which isn't exceptional, but it's not, you know, it's fine, I guess, but we want to see something more exciting. And the changeup took over instead of the slider that was just thrown 6 times, and the changeup was whatever, and fine, you survived against Rocky Road, I guess, but I don't want to chase this. Gerrit Cole, speaking of him from before, right, took long enough because he went 7.1 innings of 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. And I've been talking about Gerrit Cole showcasing the best skill set I've seen from him over the past month. Well, this wasn't that. The command was all over the place. I mean, good for him for getting through 7.1 innings for the Yankees. The Yankees needed that after the bullpen wasn't good the other time, and 103 pitches, that's nice, but this wasn't good. Command was all over the place. Slider just went 1 for 23 whiffs. Four seamers were just all around the zone. All the other stuff was just like, it was a shotgun blast. It was a Pollock. Not me Pollock, but Jackson Pollock. And also, Jackson Pollock spells his name wrong. But yeah, that's really annoying and exactly what I didn't want to see in this. For Gerrit Cole, I think another more so than the other guys, I'm very, very focused on the skills of it. Because I kind of feel like Gerrit Cole isn't going to destroy you in fantasy. It's just about, I need you to be your best self to make me win my league. And he's not quite doing that right now. Gavin Williams against the Royals. 5.2 innings, 300 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. So kind of disappointing here against the Royals, right? One out away from a very poor quality start. And he honestly could have lost that win if it weren't for the Guardians executing one of the most brilliant relay throws to home that I think I've ever seen. Check it out on my Twitter. It's incredible. So what happened here? Gavin Williams did really good things with the four-seamer. 14 over 53 whiffs is great, 40% CSW, but a lot of his hits were off of that pitch. Wait, how? He was upper half with the fastball. Nick, this is everything that you've saying. Well, it's because the secondaries weren't down. The slider and the curveball. So like I was talking about before, where you gotta get the Blake Snell blueprint all the way through. You can't just only throw high fastballs. You have to also get the secondary stuff down. And without that, you know, a lot of guys were beat by those heaters for 14 whiffs, but some guys were smart and they said, look, everything is going up, so I'm just gonna keep my eye level there. And they were able to get a lot of hits on it. So in due time, I do hope that Gavin Williams will have that skill, but with a lot of rookies, yeah, command is a big thing that takes time. And it's nice to see that Gavin Williams does have the ability to get whiffs on four-seamers. That's a huge, huge, huge deal. I love that. But there's more to be done here. Now, I'm not saying that Gavin Williams is just going to be bad now. No. I'm saying that he opens the door for volatile starts, for disasters, and for kind of just frustrating outings. This is not a disaster. I think when we see that dreaded ERA over 4 or a whip over 1.2, we think that's a bad start. That's not necessarily the case. What really the situation is, they're just a little bit off from actually being productive. The real damaging ones are where you see like the 6 ERA and the 1.5 plus whip. So this is fine. It's just, I like that we see the ceiling. I mean, 20 whiffs and 36% CSW. So Gavin Williams, I hope you can unlock that and be more consistent in the future. Ranger Suarez has hit the wall. Two good matchups and he just did not come through against them. This was against Miami Marlins. 300 runs, 8 hits, 4 walks, 4 Ks, and 5.2 innings. Yeah. Do not start Ranger Suarez. It was a Vargas rule. It ended. We move on. Hopefully he comes back in the second half. David Peterson, very interesting. 5.1 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks against the Padres. It wasn't terrible. It's just that he doesn't have a really good secondary pitch anymore. And without that, it's like he's doing all the hard work and then he's not getting anything out of it. Like, you get your PhD is what I said in the roundup, and like, what do you do now? Or you go to the drive through and you finally go through all the traffic and everything to get there, and then you don't know what you want to order. So I don't really want to start David Peterson until he has an actual secondary pitch. It's not the slider anymore. Braxton Garrett against the Phils got the win. 5 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. Yeah, not great because his command is falling apart. And that was really the thing that Braxton Garrett had, except he just didn't have a good sinker, and so he used the cutter instead, but now the cutter isn't as good. It's kind of interesting. I think we go with the Orioles. I think he should get that on the back turn of the All-Star break. I think we start him there, and we kind of take it from there after that one. Connor Siebold, absolutely not. Taj Bradley got Atlanta, so we can't really judge him much there, but we didn't see any growth in the changeup of the curveball, so unfortunately, it's still just cherry bomb Taj Bradley. Atlanta's really tough, guys. Drew Smiley is not throwing good down curveballs, so he didn't do well against the Yankees. It hasn't been that way for a while, so we wait. Colin Ray, yeah, he got 7 strikeouts, but yeah, no, we don't really do that. Luke Weaver, we absolutely don't do. Brady Singer is a cherry bomb, unfortunately. He came off of a start of 12 whiffs and 12 called strikes in the sinker, but yeah, he did terribly against the Guardians for 6 runs and 13 hits. I really just don't want to have him on the list anymore. Sonny Gray had a terrible second inning of all 6 runs. I believe it was 5 hits and 2 walks came in that one, or maybe it was all 6 singles. I can't remember. All of them were singles, and it was a horrible inning, and then he was amazing in the other 5. So yeah, we just keep starting Sonny Gray. That was a nightmare inning, but that's just kind of how it goes. Andrew Heaney, we saw this great start with his sliders down, fastballs up, and we were hoping maybe he could do it against the Nationals. Nope. 3 innings of 7 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks, as the command was just gone again, and just don't do it. He's just a desperate strikeout dart throw, and that is it. A dart throw. And lastly, there is Reed Detmers. I know we're also very disappointed about this when he was on such a good stretch, and he already taken down the Dodgers, and maybe this was going to happen. I think I put Detmers in the questionable. Maybe I put him in the probable. I don't know. I was really debating it in my legacy league, and in my situation said, all right, you know what? I'm going to do it. I shouldn't have, and I kind of regret myself doing that. But it was 3.1 innings of 7 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks, 12 whiffs, 32% CSW, and 75 pitches. This was a game where he allowed 3 home runs. His slider was not good. This was not the command that we are used to from Detmers recently with that slider. Did not get it in off the plate effectively. When he did, it wasn't a good scenario to do it. It was not a good outing for Reed Detmers. Does not mean it's all coming apart. This is often like what happens. You have a 7-game stretch, and then you have one bad one, and everything like throws up the papers as if like it's totally over. No, this wasn't a Vargas rule. Like, Detmers is really good. Just stick with Detmers, okay? It's not all of a sudden now he's regressing back to April and March. No, it's a new slider. It's a better approach. You just had a bad outing. Whatever. We move on. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for the support. I will be putting out the next Plus Pitch podcast about today's games super early in the morning tomorrow, so enjoy that one. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.